Good morning. Thank you for asking me to be a part of your work for a few days. We lived in the state of Kansas for a number of years, about 10 years, down in Mulvane, late 70s into the 80s, and we have great precious memories and connections with people in this part of the country. My sister and her family live in Mulvane. We stopped to see them the last couple of days. But more important than the personal element and connections to this state and this area, our task together this week in pursuit of following Jesus. With this theme, who will follow Jesus? Now, immediately you know that's not something that I came up with, nor is it the creation of a hymn writer. The origin of this question is Jesus Himself, who spoke these words in Matthew 16:24. If anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I know that there are many in this audience who have responded to this invitation. And your intention is to continue to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You have heard God's Word. You were convicted of your sin. Believing in Jesus Christ, you repented and you were baptized to live the rest of your life following Jesus Christ. I'm anxious to commend you for those choices and to encourage you from God's Word to persevere and to grow and to excel in all your discipleship. For Christians, as well as those who have not yet made that choice, the question this morning is, why follow Jesus? Let's spend a few moments with that inquiry. Why follow Jesus? That He calls upon us to follow Him is evident all through the New Testament. But the call to follow Jesus should always be associated with reasons that justify that decision. May I say that again, please? May I say that the call to follow Jesus should always be associated with reasons that justify that decision. That is so important. The call to follow Jesus must be connected to the reasons that justify the call. And so our question now is, why follow Jesus? We know there are good reasons, but we need to identify them. We need to name them and keep them close in heart. Christian or not, this study is for you. Let's have our Bibles open to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to discover the answer to our question in John, chapter 1. I could take us to a variety of passages, to Romans and 1 Corinthians and Timothy and Titus and Revelation. We're going to locate ourselves in one place, John chapter 1, please. The Gospel of John chapter 1. And there is a lengthy reading, but it has so much value. Stay with me, please, in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to His own, and His people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This is He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me because He was before me. And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known." And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to them, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Do you remember our question? Why should I follow Jesus? Here's the first part of our answer. Because of who He is. Because of who He is. Not just that His teaching is better than others, though that's true. Not just that your parents and grandparents followed Him. I hope that was true and that's good. Not just in this case. You might suddenly be unprepared and die and you're afraid of eternity. That's a valid motivation. But for now, set your mind on this. Following Jesus because of who He is. John wants his readers to understand who Jesus is. You cannot effectively follow someone you don't know. You cannot effectively follow someone you don't know. John must make the case for the identity of the one we are called to follow. And so we want to follow Jesus because of who He is. Now, you heard this in John chapter 1. The Word was with God and the Word was God. John uses that expression, the Word, Logos. In the vernacular of John's time, this term Logos, translated Word, had to do with something you wanted to express. A concept, person, reality. In the case of Jesus, all three apply. Concept, person, and reality. Jesus expresses the concept of deity because He in person is deity and His incarnation makes it all real. Jesus Christ communicates to us God. God's creative power, God's sovereignty, God's opposition to sin, God's love that makes a way out of sin, God's grace and mercy, Jesus perfectly expresses deity. Not as claimed by some early Gnostic teachers that Jesus was an emanation from God. No. Jesus perfectly expresses deity because He is deity. In John's opening statement, each phrase or clause tells something more about the one called the Word. And it all becomes one of the reasons we follow Him. He was in the beginning. He was with God. The Word was God. Three affirmations, each richer than the previous. Jesus was there in the beginning, but not just there. He was with God, suggesting oneness, but greater than that, the Word was God. Jesus has perfectly the very essence and nature of God, the effulgence of His glory and the very image of His person. Hebrews 1 verse 3. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2 verse 9. John begins with these powerful affirmations about who Jesus Christ is. And then, from here to the end of the book, evidence is distributed to the readers, so much evidence that when you get to John 20:31, you are convinced, if your heart's soil is fertile, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you can have life in His name. That's why we follow Jesus, because of who He is. The writers of the New Testament are not asking us to believe just anything or follow just anybody out of emotion, interest in drama, or attraction to a crowd. The apostles didn't just deliver a new system of religion to the Jews and Gentiles just to replace the old. These opening words of John offer a powerful reason to seek Christ and learn of Him and follow Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think of it this way. Just as a word gives form and expression to an invisible thought, the Lord Jesus gave form and expression to the invisible God. He does that perfectly. He does it perfectly because He is God. He was not only with God, He was and is God. And to take this truth further, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, what are we doing? We are answering the question, why follow Jesus? He is not just another religious teacher or leader, though He does teach and lead. He is not just a good person, though He is perfectly good and sinless and pure. I want to follow Jesus because of who He is. God is revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just another God. He is not a lesser God. He is not God in some modified, limited sense. With anything subtracted, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," and Matthew records Emmanuel, God with us. Why should I follow Jesus? Because of who He is. And because of what He did. Verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God. What does it say about what He did in John 1:29? Takes away the sin of the world. That's action on His part. Action He took voluntarily for us to get out of sin. It may be valuable to consider what cannot take away sin. I cannot work my way out of sin on my own. Shoving the cross aside and just working my way out of sin on my own, it is futile. I cannot buy my way out of sin. I do not have sufficient resources to purchase my own redemption. I cannot attach myself to some good person to escape the ruin of sin. I cannot commit myself to a denominational creed or system to have my sin forgiven. I can't just turn over a new page in my life and start doing right and assume that all of my previous iniquity was pardoned based on my present reformation. There's only one way out of sin. Only one person I can believe and obey and follow to be forgiven and set right with God. Jesus takes away the sin. When I believe in who He is and what He did, and as I respond as directed by the apostles, He takes away my sin. We are talking here not just about Jesus being compared to a lamb with respect to the characteristics of an animal. This is about Jesus as the slain Lamb of God. Sin was defeated. Atonement achieved once and for all when the Lamb was slain, when Jesus died. It was the working of God on the cross. Truth is, Christ's death for us was the powerful working of God to satisfy His justice, His response to sin, and provide a way out of sin for us. Many passages speak of this. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God." Follow up with Romans 5:8. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God used what men intended as Christ's defeat as our victory over sin. Here's the way Peter describes it. 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." It is the only way for us to be redeemed out of sin and brought to God clean. Because of our sin, we have nothing to offer. This says that we are classified as unjust. It took the just, perfect, sinless Son of God to be put to death in the flesh and made alive in the Spirit for me to have a way out of sin and for you to have a way out of sin. That's my segue into the next point when I said me and you. Why should I follow Jesus? Because of what He offers that I need and that you need. Several statements here in John chapter 1 describe what Jesus offers that we can receive by the activity of faith. Verse 12, "To all who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." At verse 16, "His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace." Becoming children of God, grace, this is what it's all about. Have you ever done anything wrong? Don't need to raise your hand. That's a thought that all of us have to entertain. Have you ever had a thought that was wrong or evil? Have you ever entertained a little bit of malice or a grudge? Maybe a long-standing grudge or bitterness that you know is wrong. Have you ever experienced general alienation from God and His ways? Are there specific sins that you've committed? Disobedience to commands, things you've left out? What does Jesus offer you to take that away? To remove that guilt in forgiveness, to get you out of sin, take you to God and keep you there in preparation for heaven. It's called grace upon grace. Paul argues in Romans 5, superabundant grace. Take every good thing the New Testament says is in Christ. All of those rich spiritual blessings captured by those very attractive words. Forgiveness, redemption, sanctification, hope. When you see what you need that Jesus offers, you are looking at another reason to start following Him and to continue following Him. Now, we're going to drill down and get even closer to us individually. Why should I follow Jesus? Because I need Him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to talk eloquently and plainly about the sin of the world. We could engage in conversation over and over, and we could compare notes, and we could give evidence from the daily newspaper or from the internet or any contacts that we have with the outside world, and maybe even people we know, maybe ourselves, and we could say there is sin in the world. It's one thing to talk about people out there living in sin and in darkness. It must be made personal before it can change. If Jesus takes away sin, I must read myself into that. He is the only one who can take away my sin. It cannot be a generic observation I make about the world. It has to become personal. If Jesus is the light of the world, I need to think of myself as needing the light that He provides for me to get out of darkness and stay out of darkness. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I need that grace. I need that truth. I need Jesus in my life to be a good husband, to be a good father, to serve my neighbors in the highest way. I need Jesus in my life, and I need to follow Him to be strongly dissuaded from what the world offers. I need Him for prayer and for worship and service and evangelism and peace and joy and hope. The more you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the more reasons you will find to walk away from sin and start following Jesus and just keep going. But you have to make it personal. R.L. Wheeler is right when he said this: if I had the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of John, the meekness of Moses, the strength of Samson, the obedience of Abraham, the compassion of Joseph, the tears of Jeremiah, the poetic skill of David, the prophetic voice of Elijah, the courage of Daniel, the greatness of John the Baptist, and the endurance and love of Paul, I would still need redemption through Christ's blood to have my sins forgiven. If you've not made the decision to follow Jesus, we're not wrapping up yet, but I want to go here for a minute. If you've not made the decision to follow Jesus, I want to urge you to read John chapter 1 that we read earlier. And when you read it, think of no one but yourself. Don't get in the middle of the chapter and say, I know four people who need that right now. Or yes, there is darkness in the world. I see darkness all the time. And people are guilty of sin. and people don't understand who Jesus is and what He did, and that nothing was made that He was not involved in, had His hands in. I want you to read John chapter 1 and make it personal. He made you. In Him was life. He offers you life. He is the light that you need in whatever darkness that occupies your life. He can take away your sin. The guilt can not only be history, it can be deleted. Receive Him and you become a child of God. And grace upon grace is for you to receive and to walk in. May I add this, and this wording is not original with me. When you follow Jesus, you're not the one in front. He gives the directions, and you go where He says. But you end up where He is. Want me to say that again? When you follow Jesus, you're not the one in front. He gives the directions. You go where He says. You end up where He is. If anyone fully understands the complexities, the purpose, the meaning, the intricacies of life, Christ does. He is the Creator. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. Read John 1, verses 1 through 29 for yourself, about yourself, and you'll be better. Everything we have read and talked about contains the truth that God cares and Jesus loves us. Not every religion in the world has this feature. I'll go further. Not any religion in the world has this feature of care and love. See, there are pagan systems with imagined gods who threaten and demand to be appeased, lurking in the dark to consume and kill you if you do not humor them. There are religions led by men who abuse and rob people of their free will and their money and seek glory for themselves. There are systems of religion that offer nothing but rules without grace. Everything we've considered from John 1 leads us to the truth that God cares. Jesus loves us. And so the question becomes, will you follow Jesus? Will you start and will you continue? How does this relate to the church? What about taking others with you? What about taking your family with you? Following Jesus here on this earth to be with Him there in heaven someday. These are the things we're going to focus on during our time together between now and Wednesday night. I have, if the clock is correct back there, 8 or 9 minutes. Here's what I'd like to do with you. John chapter 1. Let's listen again. And as you listen, and as I listen, what are we going to do? We're going to make it personal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This is He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me." And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you? We need an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Thank you very much for your good attention to our study. Please ponder these things carefully.